So let me ask you, where do you go for truth? When you're looking, I agree. When you're looking for truth, there's a need in your life. Where do you go? You go to the internet? Because you know if it's on the internet, it's true. Do you go to CNN or Fox News? It's not that they don't spin their own tail, do they? But you're searching for truth. Where do you go to find it? We serve a God who every word of God proves true. Another translation of that says every word of God is flawless. It's perfect. Where do you go for truth? I've made this the point of truth that I begin with. How about you? You see, our God is truth. He's not just truthful. He is the essence of truth. And where is it that you and I head towards when we need truth? God is the only source of absolute truth. Now, absolute truth is fading. You realize that. You know why they took the Ten Commandments off schools and public places? They didn't want to be faced with the truth. They didn't want to see the truth. And so, we as a culture, George Barnes has done a lot of studies on this, and he has determined that those young people, 24 to 44, were asked questions of, do you believe there's absolute truth? And it's amazing how many do not believe there is such a thing as absolute truth. What about you? In fact, here's irony in their statement. They're saying there's absolutely no way there could be absolute truth. Do you get that doesn't work. That statement just will not work. But yet we have a culture that says there is no absolute truth. So everything is relative. Everything basically can be rationalized, but there is no absolute truth. Do you know how all that started? Well, Satan is a liar, and Jesus said he is the father of all lies. What's the first lie that is in the Bible? Genesis, the third chapter, between Eve and the serpent, and you remember what he told her? She said, if we eat from this tree, we will die. And he says, oh, surely you know you won't die. Here's what will happen if you eat from this tree that God forbid you eat from. You'll only be like God. And you'll know and understand things. And your eyes will be opened, Eve, so go ahead and eat. And we all know she did. And we all know that we live in a world that Satan began with a lie, and he is the father of all lies, is what Jesus said. And that is so true. We struggle in this world with Satan, who is the prince and the power of the air. He influences every day of our lives. We're fighting with lies, with things that are not true. You know, just like if we go back to the removal of the Ten Commandments, I wonder how many of us, if we were forced to, could write down the Ten Commandments. Can I encourage you to go to Exodus 20 today and look those over again? See if you've got them down in your mind. The first ones talk about our relationship with God. The other six, four talk about our relationship with God, and six talk about our relationship with each other. And they are paramount. They are the core, the fiber that this country was originally set in. Do you know for 18 centuries, the Western world basically went back to this for truth. That doesn't mean that they were dead on what the scriptures say, but for 18 centuries, the Western world, not the Eastern world, believed that the Bible was truth. And then you had a philosopher by the name of Immanuel Kant that came, and he said you didn't need necessarily God to decide what was truth and what was right to you. You had a mind. God gave us an intellect, and you could rationalize, you could reason yourself to understand what truth was. You know, we're all broken and deceived by Satan, but we can reason our own truth. In fact, it was called an age of reasoning. It was called, in the 18th century, the Enlightenment. Really, it got darker. Didn't get lighter. It got darker. And then after Immanuel Kant came along, had another philosopher named Friedrich Nietzsche, and he had this mindset. He wrote, he said, it's not just reasoning that you have, but you have the ability and the willpower in you. You decide what is truth for you, and you grab it, and you don't apologize to anybody. You can decide what was truth for you. Does that sound like today? Sure does. In fact, back then when he wrote, his writings influenced a young German politician at the time by the name of Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler determined it was wrong for the Jewish people to be alive. And when he got power to, he did all he could to follow follow Nietzsche's reasoning. Do you see how we have strayed away from truth? Do you know the battle that you and I face every day? It is bombarding us. You turn on the TV and the lies come across. You drive down the road and the billboards are there. You talk with friends at work and they're caught up in the lies. Do you know what truth is? Where do you go for truth? Satan is a liar. And his purpose is to get all of us, just like Eve, to buy into the lies. Well, I want us to look at some of the lies, Satan's lies versus God's truth, that have pilfered into our life, to the fact that you may have bought into these. You may be sitting here today and you do not know the truth, or you have let the lies of the world affect your life. Here's one of the big ones. The lie is, money can buy me happiness, security, and respect. Now, I don't raise your hands, but how many of you would say, if I just had some more money, my life would be better? And so we sell what all of us have in common is our time, and we sell that, and we work overtime, and we work two jobs, and we work hard because we want more money, because we think money is actually going to fill the needs in our life for happiness. If I just had this home, if I just had, we're in one of those home improvements, you know. You watch HGTV long enough and it influences you. And so it started with the bathroom and now it's moved into the bedroom. You know what I'm talking about? But we think if we'll just do this, if we'll just have this, our life will be better. No, it won't. No, it won't, because I'll tell you what, you'll get there and you'll find out that it won't fulfill you. It will not give you the happiness you thought it would. It gets old. That new car gets old and dented and breaks down. Doesn't it, guys? It sure does. Security. Respect. If I just had more money, more people would respect me. And that's not true. You know what the truth says? The truth says this. Let me back up here. Truth says, God's word says this: stay away from the love of money. Now, he didn't say money was evil. He said the love of money is evil. He says, stay away from the love of money and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the stuff that you think you need is going to be given to you. You know what? We've bought in the lie that we need this and we need that and we'll be happy. No, you won't. I have been to countries where people are so poor, but they are so happy. They have literally nothing, and they are so happy. I challenge you to go on a mission trip to Haiti. Go there, and you'll find people sleeping on mats in huts. And they have more joy than people with so much more. Don't buy into that lie. You don't need stuff. What you need is what God supplies. But that's one of the lies, especially we in America are so prone to buy into. If I just have the money, if I can just get the money. And so we spend our life and our time is gone seeking something that cannot fulfill our lives. Seek God first. And all the other stuff, he says, I know what you need. I've got you covered. Trust me. And that doesn't mean that what some of us need is less than what we have. Do any of you have the same longing I have? I long for simplicity in my life. And it seems like the more that comes is complexity, not simplicity. I want simple. I want to go back to basics. And yet we have a culture that says, no, you need more of this, and you need the newer gadgets, and you need the... No, you don't. Here's another lie that a lot of us have bought into. Think of yourself first. You deserve more. Now, look how Madison Avenue advertises the commodities. What do they say? You deserve it. Have it your way. Come on, what all the commercials feed? I mean, just look at them this time of year before Christmas. And not only are they feeding you, they're feeding your kids and your grandkids. You deserve this. Come on, we live in a culture of youth today that think they're deserving and they become expectant. Think of yourself. You deserve more. What does God's truth say? God's truth says, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you'll lose it. But if you give your life for me, you'll find it. Now, it doesn't make sense in a culture that says you are valuable. I was reading the other day about we live in a day and time where kids on teams, we used to give trophies to Little League teams, to the winning teams. Now everybody gets trophies. If you just show up, you get a trophy. Why? Because your kid needs to feel valuable. Come on. What do we know about giving our lives up? Here's what God is saying. If you become a servant, you'll be served a greater way than you ever thought. But if you think you need to keep on serving yourself and filling yourself needs, you'll never get filled up. Do you see the lies? Every day they're in our face. Let me go over another lie. Lie: you have the right to satisfy your sexual appetites. After all, it's your body. You can do what you want. Now, some of us in here remember when TV first started, and Rob Petrie and Laura actually slept in different beds. You remember that? Now we have everybody hopping in and out of beds. And it doesn't make any difference. And then it saturated our thinking more than we want to admit, to where we think, yeah, it's all right. They're going to get married. Where they have, they're talking about getting married. And we buy into the lie. And I wonder how many people in church today actually buy into that lie. You know what God says? God says, I'll get it right. Do not commit adultery. And he says to flee from youthful desires. When that stuff comes up on your screen, guys, get rid of it. Run away from it. Don't investigate it. Pornography is one of the most addictive things out there. But what do? We flirt with it. We actually think we can handle it. And pretty soon, it's handled us. You don't go there. You don't get started in that. You know, those pictures come into your mind, and Satan can do all kind of things with them. Come on, let's be honest. The statistics for pornography and how deep it runs, not just into men, but into women today. I find it hard to believe. But folks, I want you to know that's a reality that you and your family and your kids face. Satan wants to rob, steal, lie, maim, and destroy. And he didn't care what tool he uses to do it with. But you think you have the right? Go ahead. God says, don't do this. Not because God's an ogre in the sky trying to keep us from being fulfilled. It's because you're not going to be fulfilled until you do it God's way. And I am continually amazed at young couples that get married and think that they can live on romantic love. And about a year or two in, the romance is gone. And they're face to face with the reality of loving that person in spite of. Not because of the romantic love, it's gone. You know, you go back to it, a lot of it's this lie that started a long time ago. God says one man, one woman, a commitment, and you work things out. You work through things. I'll tell you, you talk to some of the seasoned couples in this church, and you're going to find out that if it weren't for some of those hard times, they wouldn't be as close as they are today. Consider it all joy, my brothers, whenever you fall into times of testing, James says, because you know the testing of your faith is going to grow perseverance. Let perseverance habits work in your life. Can I tell you, you don't have a right relationship until you've persevered with other people. And there's nobody that I have persevered with like my wife. The ups and downs, the ins and outs, the going from this income down to this income, back up to this income, down to this. You know what? We've learned to trust God. He's in charge. But we buy to the lie. If I just have the money, if I just do it my way, if I can just satisfy this flesh, you keep satisfying this flesh and you'll come up empty in life. Let me do one more. The lie is you have the right to get even and pay people back for their hurts. What's a t-shirt? Says, I get what? I don't get mad, I get even, right? And somewhere down in our soul, we think, well, I have the right to hurt this person back. What's God's truth say? Get rid of all bitterness. You know, if you are still holding hurt, if it's long hurt, it's turned into bitterness. What happens is we get hurt, Then we get angry, and then when we dwell on the anger, it turns into bitterness. And if you are a bitter person, be wary, because that stuff is scary. It's like toxin to your spirit. It will eat you up, and it will affect everybody around you. You're hurt against somebody else that you never let go of. And you know who's really imprisoned? You are. You are. I've just spoken what Hebrews says. The root of bitterness springing up will defile everybody. It'll contaminate everybody. And God knows we weren't made to hold bitterness. So he says, get rid of bitterness. I'll give you the antidote for that. And rage and anger. And do not take revenge, because I'm the one that's going to settle the score. Trust me. And so when hurts come our way, Or you dredge a hurt back up from somebody that's dead and gone, you know what? You just keep giving it to God. Keep giving it to God. Giving it to God. You say, Dave, I feel embarrassed running back to God. No, you don't need to. He knew that every time that hurt comes up, you need to go back to him. Getting close to him is not what Satan wants. So you know what Satan will do? He'll quit bringing that hurt back up. He will. Because you keep going back to God with it. Here it is again, God. It's like a rubber band. It just came back again. So I keep giving it to you. In fact, sometimes forgiveness, Jesus said, is not just seven times, but 70 times seven. You ever have that happen with a hurt in your life? You see, if you hold, like God knows that if you and I hold on to hurts and it turns to anger and it turns to bitterness and then we want vengeance, that will never be used for him. He wants to clean that out of our lives. You see, folks, every word is perfect. It's flawless. This is absolute truth. We live in a culture today that says there is no absolute truth. So do you realize how much you and I are swimming upstream when we say God's word is truth? This is absolute truth. And absolute truth is for our people anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter what age. When God said to his people Israel, you shall not commit adultery, that's good for this age, for this time. When God said, don't steal, that is good for all ages, any place, anywhere, any culture. When God says, don't bear false witness, don't lie to your brothers and sisters, be truthful to people. I'll tell you, when your business says, oh, if we just fudge this truth, if we give a little less product than we advertise, listen, it will not pay. Ultimately, it will not pay. God's truth is God's truth. And you can rationalize it away, like Gant said in Nietzsche, you can determine what is best for you. You see, there's truth for you and then there's truth for me. That's what the culture of today says. But God says, this is absolute truth and this is what will change your life. God does something. He guides us into all truth. Can I tell you, when you hear of a man beating his wife, why do we get angry? When you hear about a child that you know that's molested, why do you get furious inside? When I hear of, especially firsthand, I hear it on the news all the time, of elderly people that are swindled out of their savings, I get outraged. Why? Because there is at the core of our souls and our being the rightness, the truth of God in all of us if we'll just go back to the right guidance system. Now, God has given us His truth. How do we get it? I'm sure that most of us have ridden on an airplane, and if you ride on an airplane, they have a place where they come across in the intercom and say, would you please shut off all your electronic devices, your Game Boys, your things like that? You know why? It's because they might interfere with the guidance system on that plane. And you don't want the guidance system messed up when you're at 20,000 feet. Right? You want that thing working right. I didn't bring mine with me this morning. But you know what some of us need to do is cut off our electrical devices so we can tap into the guidance system. Joe and Jeff did a series this past Wednesday night for families, and it was on electronic devices. And do you know what the average adult, we spend watching a screen between our phones, TV, internet, 4 to 5 hours a day, 4 to 5 hours a day, despite working, and some of us that are retired are watching it a whole lot longer. And we'll admit that we seniors, we kind of like the TV, right? In fact, we like to just turn it on because it sounds like somebody's in a room with us. That's what my mother told me when she was a widow for a long time. She would turn the TV on just like having conversation with somebody else in the room. You know what they said about the adolescents, the teenagers, and how much time they spend plugged into screens between TV and their smartphones? 9 to 10 hours a day. 9 to 10 hours a day on screens. You know what some of us need to do is learn to shut the stuff down so we could get God's guidance in. I have people tell me, I don't have time. Yeah, you do. You just need to make it. So what is God's guidance system? Let me give you three things that if you'll shut the TV, the cell phone, the internet down, be surprised how much truth you can tap into. First of all, this. He gave us His Word. His Word is perfect. This is flawless. God's Word is truth. Jesus confirms that this is truth. And then Jesus is truth. And say, well, how does that fall in? Let me go ahead and give you the third one, the work of the Holy Spirit. This is like, remember we talked about last week? The Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God are the two wings to the airplane. You know what Jesus is? He's the pilot. He's the one that drives all this. If we'll go back to Jesus, He'll give us exactly what we need. If we'll look at the gospel accounts of how Jesus dealt with things, He's the one flying the plane of our lives. But you need the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. God's Word is true. It declares that over and over. The psalmist knew that. David had an intimate understanding that every word of God was true. And he hung on every word of God. But he blew it. Go back to the 51st Psalm and read what he says. He knew that he had sinned against God and he had blown it. And he said, don't take your spirit from me. Why? Because he knew the balance, the word and the spirit. Jesus said in Gospel of John 14 chapter, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. Are you tapping into Jesus? Is he the one that you go back to? For the way you think, the way you feel, the way you talk, the way you act to other people, because you'll never be wrong with the pilot guide in your life. And you know what Jesus called the Holy Spirit? If you go read John 14, 15, and 16, it's the largest discourse or writing about the Holy Spirit, you know what he calls him? The Spirit of Truth. And it is amazing to me when I have a situation in my life, if I sit down and say, okay, how would Jesus deal with this? I may need to go back to the gospel account to get it down right. That's okay. But go back, what would Jesus do with this? What does your word say? What does the Holy Spirit? And if I just make myself available to the power of God's Spirit in my life, it's amazing how I can find truth for my life. Where do you go for your guidance? You don't go to the internet. You don't go to the spin doctors. You go to the Word of Truth with the focal point of truth, Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, you have God's Spirit in your life, and you will find truth. And here's the beauty of this. The truth will set you free. It will set us free. But what we do is we go back and buy the lie. And we mess around in the lie some more. Instead of the truth of God. We serve a God who is truth. He wants us to be a people of truth. He wants this congregation to be a light of truth. And by the way, God's truth will last forever. All your words are true. All your just laws will stand forever. Get used to the truth. It's going to be around forever. And so will you. And if you're in Christ, we will continually be living, understanding, and discerning what the truth is. Don't buy into the lie. Satan's bought a load of untruths into our culture today. You're going to leave here today and you're going to go out and face a world that is filled with lies. And you're going to live truth. Let me pray for us and then I'm going to ask AJ, if you're here, come on up. Father, we are so unaware sometimes how much we have been affected by the lies. Seems like every day there's a new twist or a new turn. And help us to realize we can't change your truth. We can only break your truth in our lives. We get the choice. You're not going to take our free will away and wire us as robots. We get the choice. You want us to choose to know the truth, to follow the truth through the power of your Spirit in our lives. God, I am aware more and more that every word, just like David said, is every law you've given us is not for our hurt, but for our health. So I pray that by your power and by your might, that we might be people of truth, this church might be a beacon of truth to the world that we interface with this week. It's my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.